Can I just pass on a little note? It's very important to keep in mind that the all things working out together for good does not apply to people who are fulfilling their own purposes for their lives. We want it to. God, here's what I want to do with my life now, work everything out for good. And God says, well, sorry, that's not the way it works. He said, I work everything out for good to those who are called according to my purposes for them. If I take myself into my own hands and my life into my own hands, well, then I'm kind of on my own, aren't I? The amazing thing is how wonderful God is, because a lot of us did that, and here we are. Here we are. Now we're serving Him. Now we think completely differently about it. So He wasn't just a casual observer. He does have a plan. He just knew that we were going to take a major detour before we fell into His arms and yielded to Him. That helps me with people that I love that are rebelling against God right now. I'm realizing God's patient. He's not in a hurry. He knows, okay, there's only so much rope. They may run till they're at the end of it. It may be a really big coil, but He's the one holding on to the end. He has a plan and a design for each of His kids. If I believe Romans 8:28, one of the things that it will do is it will help me to see everything that comes as art supplies. Because that it's that sticky phrase, all things. God is working together, all things. Remember, the verb in that sentence is the powerful part of that sentence. Synergeo is the Greek verb, which means to work together. It doesn't matter what the events or circumstances or details are. They can be bad things. But working together those things to make it good is a different story. I remember one time God was trying to comfort me with this, and I got ticked off at Him, which I'm embarrassed to say that I do sometimes. A really bad thing happened. Completely unexpected. I did all the right things, and my worst nightmare came true instead of my wildest dreams coming true. And it was bad, and God could have stopped it, and He didn't. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't know how I am supposed to see this as a good thing. And He's telling me, God is working all of those things together for the good of those that love Him are called according to His purpose. I'm saying, how do you expect me to see this as a good thing? He said, I don't expect you to see that as a good thing. That stinks. If you think that's a good thing, you need therapy, Bob. No, this is a bad thing. But I'm not done yet. And when I work this bad thing in with the other things, when I'm done, it's going to be beautiful. What happens is then I start seeing everything, even the stinky things, in a different way. So God's created us in Christ Jesus. He's that work of art. He does have something for us to do. Paul says, I'm pressing on to take hold of it. I don't know what it is completely yet, but that's what I'm giving myself to. I'm every day of my life, he said, wanting to grab onto that thing that God has created me to do. We're just not that way. Our culture isn't that way. Our culture is goal-oriented. And I don't even know that that's bad. It just depends on where the goal comes from. Is it my idea or is it God's idea? Prepared beforehand for us to do means there's a specific plan, there's a design. Here's a good place to write in, at the end of this verse, Psalm 139, verse 16. If you were here when we were teaching Psalms, you will remember this study. It's pivotal. It's a fat psalm. We sing a couple of songs that come from that psalm. There's one little innocuous statement here that once again when I see quizzical or skeptical looks on people's faces in church, when I tell them that it's an already written story, they go, yeah. What kind of Fruit Loop are you? Listen to what it says. Psalm 139, verse 12. All of the days determined for me were written down in your book before even one of them came into being. What does that mean? Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Some of the days, depending on whether I cooperated with your choices, blah, 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 blah. No, all of the days that were determined for me were written down in your book before one of them came to be. That's where I get the phrase, an already written story. Well, how can anybody do that? Well, the answer is nobody can do that but God, because he knows the end from the beginning. An already written story unfolding each day. Here's the way things look to me often. I have an idea about the way the story is supposed to go. And for a period of time, everything in my story seems to confirm that these are good ideas. It looks exactly like everything is going along according to plan. I thought, you know, by, you know, 2 years in, I would have 1.3 children and blah, blah, blah. And I would be at this level of my work. And then all of a sudden, the fingernails on the blackboard sound happens and everything gets jerked out of my plan. And immediately, I'm completely disoriented. And that frequently happens. It happens all through Scripture, doesn't it? The one thing that doesn't deviate in Scripture is the plans that God has, that he unfolds. And often they look exactly like they're going the wrong way before they unfold. Remember the Israelites at the Red Sea? Belly aching for 400 years, get us out of here, get us out of here, get us out of here in Egypt. And God finally does, and he leads them right smack into a trap at the Red Sea. No way to get out except back the way they came. And as soon as they hit that box canyon with the Red Sea in the middle of it, as soon as they're in that place, they can't go around. Then God tells Pharaoh where to find him. And Pharaoh comes like the cork in the bottle and plugs that up. And now they're trapped. And of course, if you read the things that they said, what they're saying is, God, you only brought us out here to kill us. Have to tell you, I've prayed that a few times myself. God, you just brought me to Maine to break my heart. And he says, no, that's the Godfather, not Father God. You've got me mixed up with somebody else. That's not the way I treat my kids. Bob, you're just judging the story too soon. So what happened at the Red Sea was, Moses, hearing from God, said those most inappropriate words. Stand still. See the salvation that God's going to bring to you today. The Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is be still. God said, I'm going to show Pharaoh, all his people, I'm going to show everybody who's God and who's not, and this day will be remembered. But it involved them being trapped. It involved them not knowing how to get out. And, of course, God's plans did prevail. It did require him doing a miracle. It did require him, you know, defying the laws of physics. He's really good at that. But when God said, I'm going to get you out of here, I'm going to put you in your own land, he wasn't joking. He meant it. It just didn't look like the kind of plan that they had in mind. If there's anything that we learn from the book of Job, it's that for a believer, for someone who loves God, it is always premature to be disappointed with God. The only time we're allowed to be disappointed with God is when the story's all over and we see God failed. We're the first ones, by the way, that he ever failed. But if we're disappointed right now, it's just we haven't seen the whole story. We have to trust what he says. So that brings me to three things. This is just one verse. You're getting the short version of it because God spent 5 years on it with me. And here's the sticky thing. I still have to be reminded of this. This is what he brought me back to when my wife left and the church fell apart. This is what he brought me back to when I found out I was diabetic. This is what he brought me back to when my support systems gave way. He said, son, I'm working in you. I have something for you to do. I'm not in a hurry. This falls into the category of all things. I'm working together. It's an already written story. What should our response be to this? I wrote three things down. We'll talk about them, and then I'll get you out of here right on time. Number one thing, is believe it. Folks, don't just believe it. Live like you believe it. A little conversation I had one of my panic attacks years ago. Something happened. The plot line took a hard right. And I mean, I'm already decorating everything far down the road. And then the whole plot line took a hard right. And everything was unfamiliar. I remember saying, God, I was not prepared for this. And as soon as I calmed down, he said, yes, you were. You just didn't expect it. But I've been preparing you. In fact, if you retrace your steps, you'll see some specific ways that I have been preparing you. So believe it. That's one of my first responses to Ephesians 2:10. And of course, believing it means I'm going to live like I believe it. Because if I'm not living that way, then I really don't believe it, do I? And here's the comforting thing. Write this down in your notes. It's still true, even if I don't believe it. It does not say we are God's work of our creating Christ Jesus and do good works which he's prepared in advance for us to do as long as we believe it. No, it's what he's up to. But what happens when I don't believe it is I get ripped off. I fall for the lies. I feel like it's all up to me. Oh no, I've got to fix this. Oh no, I got to come up with plan B because plan A just went down the toilet. You know, that whole deal. If I believe it, I'm pretty unshakable. Second thing I wrote down is relinquish our own agenda. If God has an agenda, we can't both have an agenda. Here's the problem with this. I'm watching this happen over and over and over. The problem with people, some people, it's harder to relinquish their agenda than it is for other people because they have so much invested in their agenda. Time and energy and money. It's a plan. They put their whole life into it and they can't just turn loose of it. Even if it's not as good of a plan as God's plan. Because I've got so much invested in this. So you can go down with your own plan. But my response to this truth should be that I take my mitts off of it. I have to do that. Nothing, and since I moved out here, nothing has turned out the way that I thought it was going to. This is the worst failure of my life in ministry. Biggest heartbreak I've ever experienced, the biggest financial loss I've ever experienced, and I didn't even get to run away. And one of the things that kept me going is what he told me when I first came here. Son, it's about what I'm doing in you, who I'm making you into. Don't worry, I have a plan. I know it doesn't look like one right now. It's not over yet. So it helps me to relinquish my own agenda and just live on the page I'm on today. And here's the third thing. And it's a bigger thing than you might think, and that's cooperate with him. Someday when I die, my sayings will be famous, the ones that are true. This is one of them. Do not fight God, because the worst thing that could happen is you would win. So just don't fight. The last thing you want to ever hear from God is, okay, your will be done. So don't fight him. Just cooperate with him. This isn't working out the way I want it to. Okay. Is it working out the way he wants it to? I don't know. We'll find out. I know that sounds remedial, but it's quite simple. That's how I survived 7 or 8 years ago. All I needed to know was, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I in the plan that you have? I hate the way it's going right now. But once I heard, no, that you're right where I want you to be, then that's okay. Then I can deal with it. Then I'm not going to fight him. Now, I'm not going to try to grab the steering wheel out of his hands and turn it the way that I want it to go. I'm just going to let go and say, okay, then teach me today how to be that work of art. Teach me today to see everything through that filter. I'm going to read that Amplified Bible rendering again. We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. I promise you that if you take that in mind, even if you look back at some of the worst heartbreaks in your life, you will see that God was doing a good thing. You may not see it yet in the way that you will see it, because the main piece of the puzzle may not even be on the table yet. But this is true. It's worth taking an hour to look at it. I only wish that everybody could have been here, because a lot of people are suffering needlessly. A lot of people are panicked needlessly. They're believing the lies of their enemy. They're going by their feelings. I can't tell you how many times I said to the Lord, nobody's ever going to want me. And he said, I want you. What am I, chopped liver? You're art supplies to me. I'm working on a masterpiece here. It doesn't feel like it sometimes, does it? It is the truth. Let's pray. You know, Lord, who's going to be sitting here hearing this. You knew who's going to hear it on some other part of the world, online, who's going to hear it on the recording. And I just pray that these words would strike people's hearts the way that they did for me. It just changed everything. It changed my focus. It changed my feeling of security. It changed my feeling of purpose. Give us this view, Lord, that you've told us the truth. We just need help believing it and living that way. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you use some of the most remarkable things and hard to deal with people and circumstances I'd rather change, and you use all of that's art supplies. And you're painting something really beautiful. You're carving something beautiful in my life, and you have a plan and a design. And I don't want you to take any shortcuts. Just go for it, Lord. Give it your best shot and give me the grace to live each day like I believe this is true. Forgive my sniveling, my whining, my distractedness, my short-sightedness. Bless these dear ones, Lord. Keep us safe through whatever storm is actually going to happen. And Lord, preserve these words for those that are going to need to hear them, and remind us when we forget. thank you for the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please, and we'll sing a song.